Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Ah, yes, it's Thanksgiving week, the night before. And Chief and Pat are here for the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. How you doing tonight, Chief?
I'm doing great. No Black Wednesday for us.
No Black Wednesday. We got pucks on Black Friday at the United Center. Wear those beautiful black jerseys.
Love those. They look so... When they dropped, my heart just... It was like the Grinch. It grew five sizes.
So is that... Like, are you a big jersey guy? Were you a jersey guy back in the day?
Maybe as like a kid, but really, no. I've never like owned jerseys. It's never really been my thing. Not yucking anyone's yum, but it's just I always feel a little silly wearing them, especially hockey jerseys. Like, they're made to be over equipment.
Right.
So I feel like the and if you're wearing them to a game, I feel like you're getting at the sleeves and mustard and you're spilling your beer. So it's just never been my thing, but they look great on the ice, and the fact that they went away from what I think is the best alternate uniform in the league for, what, 16 years, 17
yeah.
years? So the fact that it's back now for the centennial, hat tip to the Hawks. They got that one right. It looks great.
And they're asking for a blackout. So if you're going to the game on Friday.
That's cool.
Wear all black. Wear the alternate black jersey if you have it.
Yeah.
Rock your Daze.
Yeah, Amante.
Daze's going to be on the pregame show. Alert to all the ladies out there, including my wife.
She's big, like, handsome man.
Huge Daze. Boy, have I heard some Eric Daze stories over the last week. Like, I got it, honey.
Yeah.
Understood.
He's big, handsome man.
He's handsome.
I've met him one time. I played in a Chicago Special Olympics charity game out in Fox Valley in Geneva. It's probably 2016, something like that. And I had a hard time understanding him. So good luck on the pregame show.
Okay.
He's got a fresh,
right.
big, thick Quebecois accent going on.
All right. Well, we'll see if that about and pasta.
Yeah.
So anyways, Blackhawks back in action tonight, trying to end a three-game skid. They'll host the Minnesota Wild. That game's going to be on ESPN+.
They've been red hot, too.
Yeah, they have really
Five
turned it around.
Yeah. They're a good team.
They are. They got off to a slow start, but... Hawks have had an interesting week. Their first tumultuous part of the schedule. They've dropped three in a row. It started with that two-goal third-period lead against Seattle and the controversial call against – no call against Bedard on the breakaway and should have been hooking because stick on the hands or slashing one of the two.
Probably should have been a penalty shot. If not a penalty shot, then maybe a regular power play. If not that, it's no call. To then turn around and give Connor the unsportsmanlike, like that guy stole at least a point from the Blackhawks.
31 years of age, that official in his beginning of his third season. Do you think you got to know the time and place you're in? I mean,
100%.
Like, and look, I think Connor's got his money's worth there. I think he probably said a few things that he shouldn't say. But, like, when he finally put the arm up...
Halfway across the
Connor
ice.
Connor was, like, right near the bench.
Yeah.
I'm like, how could he even hear it?
Right. So, if you told me, like... Because he kind of bumped him a little bit, you know, when he went right over. Not anything egregious.
No.
But
the momentum took him into that corner where the official was.
Yeah, it did. He might have stopped on a dime right there, too. Got in his face a little bit.
Improved skating.
Yes. So, if he got him right there... You know, maybe, but the fact that he got all the way to the bench, so he's just yelling back at him, like, there's so many of these clips where refs are mic'd up and the players are giving it to them and their refs give it right back. And that's always kind of been my understanding. That's the culture where it's like, you can get in the ref, get in his face a little bit and yell some things. And that was Blashill's comment. Like, it better have been deeply personal.
Yes.
I sent a few texts trying to figure it out. And it was, I guess, a couple of one F-bomb too many. But it's like, come on, like, grow up. You can't be taking the game into your own hands with 4 minutes to go because
right.
you feel aggrieved.
Now, let me just say the officiating has been suspect, to say the least.
I would agree.
Around the Blackhawks this season. It included Sunday night, which I saw something that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
Tyler Bertuzzi gets called for tripping. they announce it. He goes to the penalty box, and they rescind the penalty.
Good on him.
They got it right.
Yeah.
But it opens the door, Chief, to like, okay, well, it could be. Because so I talked to a player on Monday. I said, talk to me. What the hell happened there? He said, we went up to the official and we said, look, obviously you guys got this wrong. The whole crowd is reacting. He said he looked at the official. He had a blank stare on his face. They went and huddled. They got it right. But I'm good with that. But like, okay, is this going to be a thing now in the National Hockey League where we huddle if we hear the home crowd go ape?
Yeah, it's whatever. Slippery slope, but it's one of those things where it's like ultimately they did get it right. So you always want to have the right call made. I've never seen that exact scenario where I've seen them huddle up and discuss before making a call. I've never seen it where it's like it's called, it's announced, and then taken back. So I'm glad they got the call right. I don't think it'll be the norm, nor should it. Maybe you talk to your guys before you actually announce it.
So they lose that game to Seattle. It was their first back-to-back situation. They're going to have 12 of them this year. It was the first one where they went and played Thursday, and then game two was Friday in Buffalo. Got in at like 3 in the morning,
yeah,
and they played horrible.
They looked like they got in at 3 in the morning.
They did. They looked like they bit. Is it Chippewa Street or what in Buffalo?
Sure.
I think it's Chippewa.
Yeah.
It looked like they've been on Chippewa Street with Kaner's cousins.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those things within like the first 3 minutes, you could tell it was going to be a long night. And I didn't quite think it was. When it was 3 or 4-1, I'm like, that's enough hockey for tonight. And then when I look back at the score, I'm like, oh my goodness. 9-3?
9-3.
So, yeah, that's one where, you know, the old Belichick where you get blown out and you bury the ball. You just bury that one.
Moving on to Colorado.
Exactly, yeah. So
tough move on, too, because they're the best team in the National Hockey League.
I thought they responded very well.
I thought they did, too.
Yeah.
So back to what we saw Friday. And, you know, in this, look, the schedule's been fine for, it's this mm-hmm. way for every team,
yeah.
right? But the Blackhawks, as we've stated on this show and is quite apparent, is they're one of the youngest teams in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Most of these guys played AHL. They played in the OHL. They played in
college,
NCAA
yeah.
in the last year or so. They're playing 2 games a week at Michigan.
Yeah.
They're getting 5 days off in between.
Mm-hmm.
If there's bumps and bruises and fatigue,
you got enough time.
You're able to kind of space it out, get to that next group of games. Not the case in the National Hockey League.
No, one right after another. And I think losing Burakovsky, you know, especially
huge.
When you're only playing 11 forwards anyways for the most part, like I think that really takes a toll on you.
And they didn't have Dickinson.
Yep.
He missed 10 games, finally came back on Sunday. So, yeah, we're seeing a couple things. That the depth of this team is not huge. And
yeah.
that the margin for error when you lose those guys is very slim.
Especially that quick.
Right.
You know, like, because in theory, if you had, you know, a few days before, you could call somebody up. But, yeah, when it's back-to-backs and you're a young team and you're missing a very important veteran player, it's going to show, and it did.
And so, to that point, you know, we saw Connor is in year 3.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had 2 full seasons in the National Hockey League of...
Veteran.
Yeah. In this day and age,
yeah.
at 20 years of age, yeah, I guess he is. But, like, dealing with 3 games in 4 nights and back-to-backs and, you know, how much do I stay on the ice at practice? How do I skip that morning skate if it's optional? Like, all the little
mm-hmm.
Tweaks and things you do to adjust to life in the National Hockey League. So I asked him, I said, hey, look, you've done what a lot of your teammates are going through right now the last 2 years. Are you sharing that? I guess absolutely.
Good.
He's like, I don't stay on the ice for practice nearly as much as I did my first 2 years at all. Like, not at all. He said, I didn't skate this summer as much as I have skated mm-hmm. in years past. So, like, you're Frank Nazar, and you're like, okay, is this normal? How do I play through this? You know, he's coming back from injury
totally.
Himself
yeah.
and hasn't quite looked himself.
He hasn't. I do wonder if you're a young guy, like you don't want to be seen to be taking your foot off the gas at all.
Oh,
like
I'm sure that's part of it.
Put in all the extra work, and it's like you know, diminishing return. So it's like you win the battle of being out there the last guy off the ice, but then you're not as fresh for the game. I'm not, you know, I don't know if that's going on or not, but I could understand a young guy feeling the pressure to try to be doing all the right things, but maybe that comes at the sacrifice of your own, you know, stamina when it matters most.
So I was told that John Cooper watched the Buffalo game. And so all of Team Canada, and I'm sure Team USA is doing the exact same thing. I mean, they're sending Don Sweeney was at a game last week. Kyle Dubas was at the United Center on Sunday night, presumably watching Bedard. Cooper's watching him, and in a game where they're getting blown out, he was commenting on how well Bedard played. And it was the, you know, he was the best player on the ice, according to Cooper.
Okay, love that.
Love hearing that, but and actually love seeing it myself. Like,
and then I would say on Sunday, too. I thought he got, I don't know if the numbers back it up necessarily, but I thought he got the better of McKinnon. They played against each other a lot.
I'm glad you brought that up. The numbers do back it up. Do you want to get nerdy?
Let's get nerdy.
Okay, so on Sunday night, Nathan McKinnon leads the National Hockey League in goals and assists on the best team in the National Hockey League. He drew the assignment, or should I say Connor Bedard drew the assignment of going up against the McKinnon line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually that would be the Dickinson line, your third line shut down.
But tough job first game back.
First game back after missing 10. And also a challenge to Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, if you're trying to show Team Canada that he's worthy of playing against the best players on the planet, and how would he hold his own? Well, what better test than that on Sunday
That's
night?
That's the one. And who's on his wing? Another rookie. You know, and then
Ryan Green has impressed the hell out of me.
He's really good. I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's...
Did not see this coming, to be honest. Because his numbers at every level were never
fine.
They didn't blow you away, though. They aren't these, like, Nick Lardis, you know, 70 goals. Yeah. You know, like,
no, you could always tell. Like, I remember watching the NCAA tournament when he was with BU a couple of years ago, and it's just like, this is a good player. He's always on the right side of the puck. He's got a good stick. You can tell he's smart, but he's playing wing, which he's never really done, and he's doing that at a high level. So I don't know if he sticks as a top six winger, you know, when this team is really humming, but he's going to be a good player for a long time wherever his role ends up being.
It's almost like you are channeling Jeff Blashill, because that's exactly what he said on Monday.
Blash and I,
you guys,
simpatico here. Yes, yeah,
you guys may be dining together for Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Not this year, but
for sure.
In the future. We'll get another meal together, I'm sure.
Best friends.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the numbers on Bedard and when he was on the ice with Nathan McKinnon. So Bedard was on the ice for 1240 of McKinnon's 2036 on Sunday, okay? When McKinnon was on the ice against Bedard, shot attempts, 18-15, favor of Chicago. Shots on goal, 8-4, favor of Chicago. Scoring chances, 10-6. In favor of Chicago. High danger chances, 4-0 in favor of Chicago.
A few of those were greens, too, I think.
Yes,
that's where you wonder if he's going to be that kind of guy, because you want him to finish those. But you're right. And you know who else is on the ice a lot with those guys? Cale Makar.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's Nate Dogg is one thing. Having Makar, like, those are two of the best skaters, best players in the world. And Bedard, I thought, got the better of him.
And so then when McKinnon was on the ice without Bedard, shot attempts were 13-7 favor of Colorado. Shots on goal, 5-2 favor of Colorado. Scoring chances were even at 5s. High danger chances were even at 3s.
So not just an off night for McKinnon.
Not an off night.
Yeah.
Did better when Bedard was not on the ice with him. Was somewhat muted when Bedard was going head-to-head with him. I mean,
hard not to smile about that.
If I would have said to you a year ago, we're playing the best team in the National Hockey League, and plan A is the Bedard line is going to go out and match up against them, you would have said what?
I would have said, what are the tankathon rankings looking like? Because that felt like that would feel like a tank
move. How would Gavin McKinnon look?
Yeah, exactly.
On the wing here.
But it just now, it's just like, hey, we'll just go best on best. And he's earned that because he's been so good and so responsible. And you know, he is so smart that he gets himself in the right position. And now that he's competing at that level and has figured some things out and he's quicker, like everything is just coming together for him. It is a transformation. I can't think of a transformation quite like this.
I can't either.
Just like a light switch went off.
Yeah. Like, we tend to go to the NFL because you and I both love National Football League, as most sports fans in Chicago do. I guess you would say you've seen it from some quarterbacks.
Josh Allen a little bit.
Yeah, Darnold maybe. Yeah. But like, I mean, Josh Allen's a good example. Yeah. Completion percentage problems when he entered the league, worked on mechanics and footwork, and it's obviously paid off.
He's the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and Bedard is, he's trending that way. He's trending towards being like, you know, eventually the superstars of the day. Obviously, everyone talks about like the last of the old guard with Kane and Taves and Ovi and Crosby and Malkin. But like, eventually, Leon and McDavid are going to be in that group too. And in 3 years, like Bedard, the way he's going, it's going to be him and Celebrini. Like, those are going to be the guys and whoever comes after him. But those two guys have, they had monster expectations and hype. Now they're both delivering at, you know, the league is in such a great spot with all these young guys playing well.
All right. So coming up on the Hockey Show, what does this fantastic start for Bedard mean to his upcoming contract? We're going to hear from an NHL insider who kind of lays out some of the framework for what Connor Bedard is going to see. And let me tell you, folks, he's getting a bag. It's next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Left side. Goes cross ice. Which is ice guard. Connor Bedard. What a shot by number 98. He'll try it from his own zone for the hat trick. He's got it. Connor Bedard. Second career hat trick. 5-2 Hawks.
Connor Bedard off to a fantastic start to the season. 31 points in 22 games played, and he was great job trying to shut down Nathan MacKinnon the other night. And you're back on the Hockey Show with on ESPN 1000, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Have you found like your friends that are, you know, kind of, I would say, fringe hockey fans, or just like, you know,
yeah, there's
along
a lot
for the ride, that they've become excited because of what 98 has done and the early returns on this season from the team?
Absolutely. It's one of those things where like a month ago, I was like, people should be paying attention. I'd walk around the office and we got a lot of obviously sports fans, but more casual. And then now it's, especially during when they had their little winning streak, people like it's like the first thing people say to me, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice that, you know, the Hawks are kind of in the public consciousness of like the, I don't want to say fair weather, but the casual hockey fan are starting to pay attention more. It's great.
So Connor Bedard is on his entry-level deal right now. If he signs before the end of the season, he can sign for the max deal, which would be $8 million if you stay with your team last year to do that. And comparing his numbers to last year, I didn't know exactly where he would fall, but now top five in scoring, been just an elite player in this league to start this season. We had NHL insider Frank Saravalli on CHSN. I had him on the pregame show and asked him, with this start that Bedard has, how is that going to affect the upcoming contract negotiations? Here's Frank.
This thunderous start to the season for Connor Bedard has actually made life a lot easier for all parties involved, because with him not just being a top five scorer in the league, but unquestionably one of the top five best players in the league, he's put himself into a category that really kind of makes this relatively simple. If we're talking about an 8-year deal here, Connor Bedard is likely to land somewhere between $12.5 million a year and $15 million a year. And so, yes, a relatively big spread at this point in time, but it helps us set the goalposts somewhere between $100 million and $120 million over the term of the deal. And in the end, because Connor Bedard has put himself in that category, I think the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be relatively comfortable knowing that the salary cap is increasing in a significant way, and they have so much space that essentially they just need to pencil that number in so that they can begin building the rest of this. And I think that's something that's also in the best interest of Connor Bedard, to help surround him with the best talent possible moving forward.
There has been some talk that Bedard may not sign a max term deal. Do you think that's a real possibility?
I don't, because it's been a talking point. It's been a sexy storyline, so to speak, with Austin Matthews sort of being the one outlier. Then Connor McDavid obviously signed a really short-term deal to stay in Edmonton, just a two-year deal. But outside of that, if you look at all of Connor Bedard's comparables, guys coming out of entry level, guys in that breadth of conversation, well, they're all signing eight-year contracts. They're all getting that first major payday. And then if you want to get creative after the fact, then make that so, but put the first $100 million or $120 million into your jeans and then figure it out from there. And so, yes, the Hawks would be buying all of Connor Bedard's prime, but in a way, if you think about it, it's best for him and best for the Hawks to just get down to that number if you're assuming it's an eight-year deal and then figure out the rest from there. It's really essentially whatever Connor Bedard says he's comfortable with. I don't want to oversimplify it, but Pat, I don't know that the Hawks are going to be balking at whatever he throws their way.
Yeah, there's a lot of 98 jerseys fans here at the United Center walking around saying, "Let just get a deal done, get it signed." What's the timeline for something like that to happen?
Well, Pat, even with this torrid start to the season, there really hasn't been much communication between the two sides. And I'm sure someone's going to clip that and they're going to say, "Oh, what's going on here between the Hawks and Bedard?" No, they've perfectly allowed Bedard to get off to this very focused start to the season. Not only did he want to turn his game around after a disappointing sophomore season, but he wants to chase that Team Canada Olympic spot for the Milan Olympics. They're watching his game closely. And when you look at him and he's answered all those questions, the Hawks have just kind of sat back here and said, we'll assume that this conversation will be coming at some point. Kyle Davidson will pick up the phone to Bedard's representation, likely over the next few weeks, just to check in again. But it hasn't really been a focal point for either side, as Bedard just assumed that business will take care of itself if you get off to a great start, which, as we just laid out, most certainly has been the case.
That's NHL insider Frank Saravalli on CHSN the other night. So you hear kind of, as he said, the goalposts have been set. $12.5 million to $15 million AAV. He's looking at, depending on the term of the contract, somewhere between $100 and $120 million. Look, he's not going to touch where Kaprizov is at $17 AAV. Draisaitl's at $14 million. Austin Matthews is at $13.25. Nate Dogg is at $12.6. And then Connor McDavid took that team-friendly deal at 12.5, staying at his current AAV for a couple of years while he figures out if he wants to stay in Edmonton and likes the commitment that the organization gives to him. When you hear kind of that, what do you think?
I am unbothered. So if it's obviously, as a fan in a hard cap world, you want the lower number. So if it's 12.5, great, but it's like, the cap's going up. They have so many guys coming in on rookie deals. They have a lot of money coming off the books. Shea Weber's $7 million or whatever is still on the books technically. So the money for the Hawks in terms of being a team that's squeezed by the cap is just not really on the table. Nazar's already signed. Vlasic's already signed.
And those already look like bargains.
The Vlasic one especially is going to look insane to have a top four defenseman at that number. He's getting, what, 4-6 until 2030? He might have signed too early. But you know, they're in a good spot financially. Spencer Knight signed a 3-year deal, so obviously that's probably going to be the one that could potentially cause them some problems in 3 years. But who cares? For right now, everything's golden, and I don't think that $2.5 million difference that they're debating there, even though it seems like a big gap, really is going to impact their plans long term. I would prefer the 8-year because you know, if it's 5, then who knows? You could be getting 2022 in 5 years from now. So just get him locked up as long as you can, and then he's a free agent again at 28 if he signs it. You know, like he'll have another huge contract, and everything will be good.
This is the best case scenario, right? Yeah. When you tank and you get the number one overall pick in a year like the Blackhawks did, and you know had the ping pong balls fall your way, so you get that opportunity. You want to see that player come through and be the generational player, or live up to the expectations that you heard. And that the reason why you took him one overall. And we saw a great start his rookie year. We saw a solid performance in year two, bad team.
Yeah.
Not a lot of structure, what have you. getting adjusted to the National Hockey League. Year three, he's off the charts. This is the best case scenario. He's playing at the elite level you mm-hmm. hoped and you drafted him for, and you're going to reward him. They've never had a problem with that.
No.
You have a problem overpaying a guy whose, you know, talent doesn't equal correct. Their AAV.
Yeah.
Got problems with that.
I often feel like it's those the next tier of guys that you overpay someone to keep them or to get them or whatever, and those ones end up being the ones that sink you. And then, as good as Bertuzzi's been and Teravainen's been a nice player too, those deals are coming off the books within this contract length as well. So it's a great position to be in. It's hard to get genuine superstars on your team. You have to win the lottery in many cases. So hard part's done. Find a number that works. Keep building.
I also like the approach that Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks took. Kind of hands off, let him do his thing, let him spend his offseason the way he sees fit to get this opportunity to make this kind of money, to, I don't say reinvent his game, but to take his game, not to the next level, several levels above where it was a year ago.
He skipped like four steps.
He did.
And in turn, the Blackhawks have too.
That's a great point.
I think that they're probably a year ahead
I saw you tweet that today or yesterday, and it was like, they have.
Yeah.
That's a great way to, they have expedited the rebuild by a year in my mind.
Yeah, and I think that if you're going to circle guys who get the most credit for that right now, put Davidson in a different category, it's Bedard and Blashill. Like, he's got everybody pulling from the same rope. Everybody's playing hard. You know, it's not too complicated what they're doing, but when you have a guy putting up, damn near 2 points a game, that really helps. So Bedard he's been everything on both ends of the ice. You can't ask for anything more than what he's doing. He's been sensational.
Coming up, not everything is rosy for Connor Bedard. He encounters some autograph hounds in Buffalo. We'll get Chief's take on that. And then in our final segment, what we're thankful for from this Chicago Blackhawks team. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to the Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000. The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM
at 1000.
On the FM
at 100.3 HD2.
On your phone
through the ESPN Chicago app.
Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and you're able to spend some time with some family and friends. Blackhawks in action tonight against the Wild at the United Center. 7:30 puck drop. That game is on ESPN Plus and Hulu. Chief, you're going to be traveling a little bit over the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy that.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in action Blackhawks Friday on Black Friday as we have a blackout at the United Center for the Nashville Predators, a team that they're trying to find themselves.
They should pump the Predators.
They should.
They should. In the all blacks, the black. Do you see those sold out in like 35 seconds? So I'm not surprised necessarily, but.
You see DJ Moore rock one in his Soldier Field on Sunday?
Looked stylish. Looked great.
Coincidence he had two touchdowns?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Let's talk about Connor Bedard and one of the things he has to encounter as a superstar, and a lot of these pro athletes have to, and that's aggressive autograph seekers, hounds, if you will.
Stalkers. Yeah, that's the whole thing where I saw the original tweet was like, Connor Bedard should have showed this guy some humanity. How about not stalking, filming, harassing a guy as he walks down the street? So I thought that was gross, and the fact that anybody would be on the autograph seeker's side is insane to me.
If you watch the video, first of all, why is the guy recording it as he walks up? That right there tips you off to
red flag.
Where this person's mindset was at, mm-hmm. and everything that came out of his mouth, an adult's mouth, was something you would expect from a professional autograph seeker who's mm-hmm. trying to cover themselves by saying you can make it out to somebody,
all
the little, every road game that these guys endure, there are autograph hounds that go to the various hotels that visiting teams stay in. They stalk those hotels. They see when the team buses are out there. They, on off days, wait to see when they come in and out for lunch and for dinner. And these guys know who an actual NHL fan is. They, it's pretty simple, you know. It's
Is he 7 years old?
Doesn't take a detective to figure this this out. And and Connor will get off the bus and sign at will. He'll do it at Fifth Third Arena for kids that are there on an off day from school. To see this, it's just like I felt dirty. Like, and even when somebody aggregates it, it's like, like we're giving this joker a platform that they don't deserve, too.
Yeah.
But it needs to be, once it kind of goes viral, somebody needs to set the record straight. And I think that's what you were trying to accomplish
the other day. I saw a blog on our own site from someone else saying that Connor Bedard should have signed him. I'm like, no. I can't let that stand.
Who was that?
It's a guy out of New York. So, who's a nice guy. It's just like had a wild take on that. But I just, and again, like maybe I'm missing something too. I've never been a memorabilia person. So I don't get it. But this whole thing where it's like, who cares? Like, leave the kid alone.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. Like, and like, he's doing plenty. Let him be.
Yeah. No, I thought it was gross is a nice way to put it. Anything else grab you before we get into our final segment and things that we're thankful for here as you
grab me about the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a very fun time to be a Blackhawks fan where you can legitimately be like, maybe they should make a hockey move. Maybe they should get a guy that, you know, helps them get up to that cap floor next year if it's an Alex Tuch. Like, they could, in theory, they have so many picks and so many prospects and the team's pretty good. Is this a moment for Kyle Davidson to be bold? And it probably won't happen. He's done a great job of, you know, keeping things within his parameters. But it's like, if you have an opportunity to get a guy who can help you down the stretch in the next 3-4 years, on top of that, that might be like something interesting come playoff time or come deadline time. So it's fun to be in the mix. And I saw Chicklets this week. They had Blashelon before. They had Andrew Ladd. They had Mason West. We should shout out him.
Yeah.
State football champion. Now he's going to go off to play for Fargo in the USHL before, I believe, Michigan State.
Yeah.
So
could use him on the football field, too.
I bet. 0-8 in Big Ten player for Sparty. But, yeah, it's just it's great to see. And I love that, too. I love that a kid didn't want to stop playing with his buddies and he was a quarterback and they go off and they win the state championship. I loved that.
I think too many kids that are really good at a sport are getting burned out because they're playing it 12 months out of the year.
I think so, too. And then I also think you can glean things from other sports that help you in your main sport. So if it's footwork or leadership or whatever it is, weight room stuff, you're going to train a little bit different for football than for hockey. I think that's all good.
Almost to a player of the analysts that I've worked with over the years, it always comes up about their kids, and they always steer them in multiple sport directions. They don't just say, we're going to live, eat, sleep, hockey.
And look, Anders Lee, captain for the Islanders for a long time, he didn't play in hockey at Notre Dame, but he won a state championship as a football player, as a quarterback, too. So there's a precedent for it, and I'm all in favor, because everyone has to stop playing sports eventually. I am a believer that you should play as much as you can while you can, because we all have to stop playing and get off the bus at some point. So even if you're going to want to be a pro athlete, you're still going to miss the days where you could be a high school stud.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, he set out to, the reason why he came back for his senior year, and did I see Edina hadn't won a state championship since 78 or something?
Yeah, like 50 years.
Like, my gosh. Like, not only does he set out what he planned to do, but like he becomes kind of a folk hero in that Minnesota.
There is just something about high school sports too. Like, he's going to go off to Fargo. He'll have friends there, you know, and he'll have friends at Michigan State. But there's just something about, like, I've been playing with these kids since I was 7.
Yeah,
and you know, this is our last hurrah. Go out and play with your buddies, and you'll have those memories in those relationships with those people forever.
Yeah, and the Hawks sent a member of the front office to the state championship game to congratulate him. Like, they were on board. Yeah. They looked at the big picture and said, you know what? Look at the commitment this guy's having. If he's committed to this sport the way he is and to these teammates of his to try to come back and win a state championship, imagine what he's going to be like on our team. Like, they get it, right? All right, coming up next, Cindy, it is Thanksgiving week. Chief and I are going to discuss some of the things we're thankful for from the Chicago Blackhawks. That's next. It's The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chiefs
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chiefs.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN 1000. The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle with you as always on a Wednesday night. Hope you are having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoy some football and some great food tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Thanks to our producer, Jack McGrath. Did a great job rolling with us with the holiday week. And also, our video stream is brought to you by LaPorte Invitational. LaPorte Invitational is the Midwest's premier high school basketball showcase, January 9th through the 11th in LaPorte, Indiana. For tickets, visit LaporteInvitational.com. So I thought we'd, you know, it's kind of maybe a cheesy thing to say, but we'll...
I don't think it is.
No?
I think it's always good to have be thankful.
You're thankful.
Yeah, so gratitude always goes a long way.
Like, obviously, you know, thankful for family and friends and whatnot, but, like, since this is a hockey show, since this is a hockey show.
Good health.
We figured we would talk about the hockey team that we usually talk about. So let's start with you. One thing you're thankful for from the Chicago Blackhawks team.
I'll start with my biggest one. It's the best thing, maybe the best of all things, like the guy said in Shawshank Redemption, is hope.
Yeah.
We finally have hope back. There's relevancy back. It's one of those things where it's like, man, like I always thought that they would make the playoffs eventually because they have so many good young players that they'd hit on enough. But now it's like you can start to dream about a cup. The way that Bedard battled McKinnon, and it's like, man, like it's going to be – it's there's a long way to go. There's a lot of work to do. It's so hard to win in the NHL. But now with a generational-type star, the way he's playing both ends of the ice, you can actually start to think, like, okay, we have the guy that can drag us there. And as they fill in around him, it's going to be great to watch. So hope's number one for me.
All right, so I can piggyback on that. And what I'm thankful for most is Bedard's offseason.
Yeah.
It clearly worked. He's backing off in certain areas, training smarter, not necessarily harder. Commitment to the 200-foot game. He got faster, shot better. It's all paid off. He's one of the best players in the National Hockey League. He is who the Blackhawks thought he would be when they drafted him. And as we talked about earlier in the show, name a player that goes from A to Z in an offseason. It's usually a gradual progression. Footwork improves. Accuracy with the football improves. Deep throws, whatever the case may be. You don't usually check off. Now, we hope in Caleb's case we're going to be checking off after Ben, Professor Ben Johnson gets him in the lab in this offseason. But I've been astounded by what I've witnessed from Bedard and just the transformation in less than a few months.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see. My number two?
Yes.
Spencer Knight.
Okay.
Spencer Knight, in order to win, you got to have a guy that can steal a few from you and make things easier on your defense. It makes everybody play with more confidence. So the fact that they were able to get him for Seth Jones, they also got a first-round pick out of that too, which who knows where that one's going to end up. So
right now, I'd say it's been a win-win.
Across the board
if
for them,
that
too.
Number one, if that number one pick turns into something else,
great.
Maybe eventually we'll say this is a Hawks victory.
Yeah, but you know they got a cup out of it. The Hawks got maybe they got a cup out of it someday too.
Well, let's hope so. All right, so the second thing I'm thankful for, this isn't a shot at this guy, but just things happen for a reason. David Carl pulling his name out of consideration.
Sometimes the best moves you make are the ones you don't make. Or
for head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. He was the number one guy on their list. They went there, interviewed him. It made sense to a degree. Like, you got a young team, you got a young coach. He recruits great. He's won national championships.
Develops,
You know, but you know what? they got the right guy.
They got the right guy.
They needed a guy with NHL experience, a guy who has been through it in an original six city, has seen what works, what doesn't work, has coached elite players like Kucherov, and can take all of that, and having been under the tutelage of John Cooper the last few years, bring that to Chicago and fix things and create a culture that has not been here since Joel Quenneville left.
Totally. And I also, the thing I'm starting to learn more and more about Blashill is that he is a pretty humble guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like he, it's not like my way or the highway necessarily. He kind of coaches each guy individually. He took some lumps in Detroit and then had to kind of recenter himself as an assistant in Tampa. So I think like the timing was right. He's the right guy, the right type of personality. He's funny. You could tell like he's just a good guy to be around. You could tell that because he's honest and humble. Like people and players trust him. That's a great thing to have.
Got about a minute to go. You got another one?
I'll say shout out to Danny Wirtz. And you know, I think the Centennial stuff has looked pretty good. The black jerseys coming back were fantastic. So I know he cares so much, it's been a hard 5 years, you know, on the ice, off the ice since he took over. I'm glad that we have an owner who cares, and there's going to be some daylight here, hopefully, in the near future.
And I'll echo those sentiments, and I'll stay with the front office, Kyle Davidson and the hockey ops team. And, you know, for building through the draft, for prioritizing speed, and the game plan of acquiring multi-first-round picks and second-round picks and seemingly cashing in on them. It has expedited this rebuild to the point we're saying they're a year ahead of schedule.
And like he had to have a lot of hard years too, and to keep the discipline of like, this is our plan, and now it's starting to work. I'm thankful that he stuck with his plan.
All right. I'm thankful we get to do this every Wednesday. It's the Hockey Show. Have a great Thanksgiving, Chief.
Same to you, PB.
And we will catch you next time on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.